We're up to session four in our series of whole life worship talks, and it's that long ago that I looked at the topics that I hadn't got round to thinking about what the topic was today. And this whole area of worship and word is very, very interesting, very poignant. Because the words we sing shape us, the words we speak shape us. And just how we understand that, I think, is all a bit of a challenge. It certainly has been to me as I've tried to think about this, and think about the way in which worship works for me when we're gathered, when we're scattered. Richard's been working at this and thinking about it for a while. I'm sure that he's got something that will touch each of us if we're ready to receive it. So, what I would like you to do is to be praying your own prayer of encouragement for him. Reach out a hand towards him. And as you reach out your hand towards him, just be aware of the Spirit of God communicating from one to another. God's chosen that way as one of the major ways that we grow in following Jesus more closely in more areas of our life. That when we hear the word, although it starts out as human words, it becomes God's word to us. Father, we pray that there be real freedom for Richard as he speaks this morning. Give a real sense of touching you, and that as a result, he'll feel confidence that what is coming is blessing. And Father, we pray for us as we receive the word, that it will find a place where it's actually sown into, it's grafted into our hearts, and that we'll be changed because of it. Amen.
Amen.
Go for it.
Morning, everybody. Don't know about you, but this morning while we were singing, there were some really good phrases in there that I was like, yes, I really want to sing this. And now I've got up here, I can't remember a single one of them. But hopefully they'll have had an impact, and God will certainly have enjoyed hearing us singing them. Have you ever thought to yourself, though, I wish I hadn't said that? I remember a time, it was my first long-term job, I was in my early 20s, and there was somebody, they had a really annoying mannerism. You know the sort of person I'm talking about. I can see some nods and smiles. Well, we always used to sit around for a tea break about 10 o'clock, and somebody would have made the teas and coffees for us, and we all arrive, we sit down, we chat for a bit, and then we go back to work. And one day, he was getting on my nerves again, and I crafted this really sarcastic remark that was going to put him in his place. And out it came, and it went quiet. And you know how we British people, we like to understate things. Someone went, and then someone else said, wow. And not in a good way. It stayed quiet for the whole of the rest of the coffee break, very uncomfortably for all of us, not just me, until someone said, right, I'm off to work, and then we all just sort of split up and went away. And I share that because in what we're talking about today, I am just as guilty as all of you are. And I say are because I know it's true. Do you say things you wish you hadn't? Perhaps in an argument. Maybe when you're joking around with friends and you just go that little bit too far. Or you're telling your kids off. Or your parents. Or just because you're frustrated at something else. Have a quick chat with some people near you. Share a time or two, or 300 if you have lots of time. Obviously, this is a chance for you to be vulnerable and honest with each other. But it isn't the best situation for that. Just be as honest as you can be in this sort of scenario. We'll have a few minutes. Okay, can we draw it in? Draw it to a close. Now, the good news is that I'm not going to ask you to share publicly anything that's been said. Let's just pray. Lord, we just confessed some things that we've done that have been wrong. And you died for us because of those things. Thank you that you've already taken the punishment, that we are free, that we are forgiven, that in spite of us doing wrong, you loved us. We praise you for our forgiveness and rejoice in our forgiveness. Amen. Amen. It can be really easy to excuse ourselves when we're talking about this sort of thing, can't it? Even when I was preparing to write this down, I almost said at the beginning of my thing, one day I was really tired and... the problem is, that really doesn't cut it, does it? Because look at what Luke says. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And I find this based on, quite challenging. What is inside me comes out. There's a proverb. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Most of us are fairly glad there's no mind readers around, or if they are, they keep themselves very quiet, because we know what happens on the inside. And most of us, quite, I think, luckily, are good at self-control. We do stop stuff coming out that we know shouldn't be coming out. But the Bible is clear. What we say reflects who we are. When we're at our worst, it's still us. Good news, though. Even when we're at our worst, we know this. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of the worst person you know. Yeah? Christ died for them. He thinks they are worth it. One of the other good news things that's coming... The Bible doesn't just leave us where we are and let us get on with it. There's plenty of advice in the Bible on how to deal with our words. We've seen this one just now, again. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Do we judge people based on what they say? See, this verse isn't really intended for that. It's intended to be instruction. That's what Proverbs is all about. It's not saying, if you weigh what you say, you're righteous. It's not saying, if you gush evil, you are wicked. What it's saying is, if you want to become righteous, this is how you can behave. Think about what you're saying. Another example, which I'm not going to put up because it's far too long a passage. You've all heard of the Ten Commandments. Most people see them as laws to follow to ensure that God thinks you're good. You know, you can build up brownie points with God by following the Ten Commandments. But if you actually look at the context of the passage where the Ten Commandments are given, and I'll leave it to you to do that on your own sometime, it's actually an instruction to a people that God has already redeemed. So what he's saying is, just before the Ten Commandments, I've already set you free. Now this is how I'd like you to live. By the way, if you read a lot of the Old Testament law with that understanding of it's not intended to follow this to make yourself good, it's a God's made you good, here's a great way to behave, it will open up the Old Testament to you. It will suddenly become exciting. I know some of you find that hard to believe, but Old Testament law, Leviticus, can be exciting. You see, you've been made righteous by Jesus. How should you behave? Here you go. Think about what you say before you say it. Easy to say, but something we can all work on. This one I love. Here's another proverb. If in doubt, keep your mouth shut. And then there's more. Back in the New Testament, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This comes in a passage about getting peace from God on the inside. If your conscience troubles you, this is the sort of thing you need to do to help deal with it. Just a few verses before that, God tells us to present all of our requests to God. And then this is part of what will happen as you give your requests to God. Think about good things. What does that mean? How are we going to put it into practice? The good news is I'm not going to tell you, because it's going to be different for all of us. So have a chat to somebody. How could you work this out in practice in your life? Not an easy one, but have a think about it. Chat to some people near you about it, and then we'll get some feedback afterwards. Okay, can you draw it in? So, there was a lot of talk there, so hopefully some of it was quite useful. Would some people like to share some of the ideas that have come up?
Well, I was just saying this is really relevant at the moment. I've just started reading a book on neuro-linguistic programming, which everything about it, the book, just keeps bringing me back to this verse. I've been thinking about this verse a lot this week, because here is this wisdom from the Bible, and people who are not Christians are learning about how the brain works and learning that this is a really good thing to think about good things.
Okay.
And train your mind that way.
Thank you. So practically, how do we do it?
It's encouraging optimism rather than pessimism.
Okay, encouraging optimism rather than pessimism.
Making sure you catch, in school and at home, catch your children doing good things.
Okay.
And taking notes and commenting on it as well.
Okay, so we're talking about spotting good things that people are doing, particularly in this case children, and telling them about it, telling them they've done well. Yeah?
When Isabel was born and she was in Skibu, Sue and I started saying at the end of each day, what good has happened today in how Isabel was progressing and getting better, and our seat was getting better. And at times it felt like two steps forward, one step back, or even one step forward, two steps back. But actually thinking about the good things that happened in the day was very helpful.
Okay, so summarising good stuff at the end of the day and thinking of all the good things that have happened, even if there have been bad things happening as well. Okay?
I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's focusing on the positive. If you focus on what's positive, you have hope. And with hope, you have the ability to come through something that is maybe not so.
Okay, thank you. So focusing on the positive. It's clearly meaning turn away from things that aren't lovely and admirable and so on, and considering the good. You know, in my case, that story I told, where I was thinking about a sarcastic comment, not only should I have held it in, but perhaps what I should have done was think about what I could have said to build that person up instead. Because Paul, in Ephesians, gives us this: don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So there's two things there. One, it's our job to try and build other people up with our words. But that is not just our problem. They need to listen to us. So you can be really great at telling somebody, you know, let's say giving feedback on somebody, and there's 99% positive stuff and 1% negative. You know, that's really good. But if the person only focuses on the negative, there's not a lot you can do about that initially. And for us, that's also can be a problem. You know, as Dave and others were saying, concentrate on the good that's happened. So if there's one good thing happened in a day rather than and 99 bad things, concentrate on the good thing and use that to build yourself up. So maybe on your way to work or school, think about somebody you're going to meet that day. What can you say to make them feel better? If you're in a place where you need to tell someone off, perhaps a misbehaving child or someone performing poorly at work that you've got to reprimand and so on, think about how are you going to phrase this? Can you think of a way to do it that helps them rather than makes them feel useless or rubbish at their job? These are all things that the Bible encourages us to do and to go on doing. Have you ever had this experience? Man has joy in a timely answer, and how delightful is a timely word? Have you ever had that sort of experience where somebody has said something and it's really impacted you well? It's been exactly the right time, it's been exactly the right thing. I see a few people are nodding out there. Let's aim to be the sort of people who do this for others. We've got a video that the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity created, which they put together for this series that we're following. So let's just watch that. Find the mouse. Hang on.
Forgive us, Lord, for the words we speak that cause fear, exclude others, twist the truth, diminish, divide, and destroy. Words that roar, words that clang like cymbals but bring no clarity. Words that make us sound powerful but are void of love. Teach us your words of healing and hope, thankfulness and grace, justice and truth, wisdom and love, forgiveness and blessing. Let our words be your words. Touch our mouths with your call and purify our speech. Teach us a new language when we are gathered. When we are scattered, let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet.
So have another very quick chat. Think about times in the Bible where words have had power. Okay, can we have some people share some examples quickly? Places in the Bible where words have had power. Genesis 1, brilliant.
The calming of the storm.
Calming of the storm.
Yeah. Abraham will be father of many nations.
Yeah, so prophetic words to individuals. Any others? No.
Centurion's daughter.
Centurion's daughter. Mm. Yeah.
Let there be light.
Let there be light, yeah. That's... So lots of times where words actually ended up releasing God's power in an amazing way. James has quite a lot to say about words. I'm sorry, I hope you can read this. Is it okay at the back? Yeah. So in chapter 5, towards the end, is anyone in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. See, James has got a lot to say about words. Previously, in previous chapters, he's spoken about getting the tongue under control. And here he's got more to add. Look at the first couple of verses. What he's saying here is convert how you feel into words, whether that's through singing or speaking, prayer. If you're sick, perhaps what needs converting into words is somebody else's faith, somebody else speaking the words on your behalf. Not in this passage, but it might mean speaking in tongues of men or of angels. But the concept here is that speaking them out loud is important. Some of you will have done the Freedom in Christ course that is on offer from time to time here. One of the important things about that course is actually speaking out words of truth. I did it a few years back, and I found there were some things that God promised in the Bible that I could read and give. You know, I was saying, yeah, I believe that, I agree with that, until I had to speak it out loud to somebody else. For me, there was one in particular that came out. It says, God's promised me to bless others, based on John 15, 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And I could not say that out loud and mean it. But if I read it, I gave mental assent to it. At the time, I was genuinely troubled because I wasn't seeing fruit in my life. I wasn't seeing me changing. I wasn't seeing people around me changing. And even though I knew in my head it was true, I just couldn't say it and mean it. So next time you have a problem with faith, have a go. See if you can speak these sorts of promises out loud, either on your own or with someone else. If you can't, then start telling God that you've got a problem with his with what he's said. He can take it. He's a big God. Tell him that you don't yet believe it enough. Ask him for help. Ask him to put you into situations where you can or he can prove himself to you. Coming back to the passage on the screen, part of the thrust in this passage of James is Elijah, you know, that awesome bloke, did all those amazing things. Actually, come on, what did he do? What did Elijah do? One of them's in the passage, come on.
Ran faster than a chariot.
He ran faster than a chariot, yes. What else did he do? Stopped it raining.
Killed
400 prophets of Baal.
He made the widow's oil and flour and never stopped.
Yeah, everlasting oil.
And he healed her son when he died.
Yeah, raised someone from the dead. Pretty awesome guy, isn't he? But James is saying, this guy's just human, just like the rest of us. His prayers were answered in an astounding way. Your prayers are equally as important as those of Elijah. You are equally as righteous as Elijah. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. You can speak out to bless other people and expect it to change them. You can speak to God on behalf of others and expect God to answer and bless them. It might be a simple, small thing, like making someone feel valued. It might be as complex as toppling a government, which is what Elijah ended up doing. But really, I just want to summarise. Your words have power. Use them well. And we finished a little bit early today.
Okay, well, that gives us a chance
to pray. Yeah.
Because inevitably, when we listen to these things, they come in and then they have to stick. So let's pray. As you're reflecting and thinking about what Richard has said, What is it that has touched you this morning? Is it about the damaging things we say? Is it about the need and the benefit to talk about things to ourselves and to others that are positive? Is it this idea that saying out loud what you would like to believe makes a difference? Is it something else? Just aim to anchor that for a moment. Father, we pray that we won't be like the person that the Bible talks about who looks in a mirror and then goes away and forgets what they look like, but that as your word holds up a mirror to us this morning, that we may take action on what we've seen and heard. Father, we pray that over these next days, that the words that we speak will be touched by your heart, so that people will recognise that there's something of quality, something of God that comes out. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Richard. Next Sunday.